Vince Colonnais alongside Mary Walter.
And joining us now is Joe DeGeneva to talk about this whole Flynn pleading guilty and what this means and his take on this. Walk us through it. Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
So, well, Joe, does this lead to the White House? Is this like a big deal? Is this a promise of a bigger fish from Mike Flynn in exchange for this plea deal? Who's the bigger fish?
No, it's not. Because if it were a bigger fish, he would have pleaded guilty to a conspiracy to do something like a conspiracy with the Russians. But there was no conspiracy. There was no collusion with the Russians. That part of the investigation is now over. There is no Russian collusion investigation now. This has now become an impeachment investigation by Mueller. This is not a criminal investigation any longer. The plea by Michael Flynn is designed to show that somehow the president was involved in stopping the FBI investigation because he wanted to protect Flynn and maybe even himself. The problem for Mueller is that the president of the United States has the right to stop any criminal investigation because he is the president. The FBI director and the attorney general work for him. And if they don't want to obey his orders, he can fire them or they can resign.
In fact,
what are we left with?
In fact, because you're saying this, you know, John Dowd, the president's attorney, is out this morning with a new statement to Axios. He said, quote, "The president cannot obstruct justice because he is the chief law enforcement officer under the Constitution and has every right to express his view of any case." That's consistent with your view.
That's the law, whether John Dowd says it or not, or whether I say it. It's the law. The president, under the unitary executive in Article 2, is the president of all the government, the executive branch. He can fire the FBI director. He can order him to do something, and the same thing with the attorney general. It is now patently obvious, given the Flynn plea, that this is no longer a criminal investigation. In fact, Mueller's use of the grand jury at this point to obtain evidence for an impeachment is a violation of DOJ policy.
So, Joe, that tweet this weekend where the president's Twitter account declared that Mike Flynn was fired for both lying to Mike Pence and to the FBI, there was all this conversation about, will this amount to obstruction for him admitting that Mike Flynn was fired for lying to the FBI, that he somehow knew it. John Dowd has since taken credit for that tweet. Do you see anything legally perilous about that?
The president cannot be indicted for firing the FBI director or anything he orders people to do. When he had his conversation with Comey, asking him to go easy on Flynn, he could have ordered him to stop the investigation. He didn't do that. He said, "Can you go easy on him?" Big deal.
So why is this an impeachment case then? Why is it?
Because they can't make a criminal case against the president. It's the only place this has any reason to go. They've already indicted Manafort. They've already indicted Flynn. Who's left? Jared Kushner? What are they going to get him for? Showing up Jewish at a wedding? I mean, give me a break. That's what this is now. This is a joke. This is now an impeachment investigation. The special prosecutor, special counsel, Mr. Mueller, cannot constitutionally and legally indict the president for anything that the president has done up to this moment. Because everything that the president has done is authorized by the Constitution under Article 2. That is difficult for people like Dianne Feinstein, however you pronounce her damn name, to understand. By the way, her comments on television were so discursive and incoherent that I think what she was trying to say was, we are now in an obstruction investigation for purposes of impeachment. At least she had the fundamental honesty to admit that that's what the Democrats want. And let me make a prediction. If the Democrats seek the impeachment of the President of the United States before the next election, which they will guarantee that the Republicans keep the House and the Senate, and they will guarantee that Donald Trump will be reelected in 2020.
So, Joe, what you're saying here is that if they pursue impeachment, it won't be on any legal basis or rational basis, but that's framed
abuse
within the
power.
Law. This is just a normative thing.
They will say that the Clinton investigation and the other investigations by Ken Starr show that you can abuse power under the Constitution even if you don't violate a criminal law. Now, in Clinton's case, he committed perjury in a federal civil judicial proceeding, and he lied to a federal grand jury, and in fact, he pleaded guilty to that. People forget. Bill Clinton pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor and gave up his law license. We are nowhere near that. with President Trump. President Trump has done nothing except exercise the powers of the President of the United States, and some people don't like it. And let me just underscore this one more time. The appointment of a special counsel to investigate him in circumstances in which there was no underlying crime is an abomination. It's an outrageous abuse of the special counsel appointment authority, and it is one of the most disappointing episodes in the history of the Justice Department to appoint a special counsel and in your appointment say there was no crime that was committed, but I'm doing it anyway.
So, Joe, you know, you mentioned that he's not in legal peril here from the nature of his tweets, but the tweets may actually provide a basis by which they can go after him on the impeachment charge. Is that right?
No,
and would you advise him to stop the tweets?
He should have stopped tweeting a long time ago, but he's not going to. Maybe his lawyers should stop tweeting as well in light of the fact that he got it wrong when he said the president knew that Flynn lied to the FBI. That was apparently John Dowd making a mistake. Why are lawyers tweeting, for heaven's sake? This is nonsense. But it's not as bad as using the threat of impeachment as a way to try to box the president in for political reasons. Again, this is not a criminal investigation anymore. You look at those guilty pleas. The Manafort plea indictment had nothing to do with collusion. It had to do with failure to register and lying about taxes and lying about money laundering. The guilty plea of George Papadopoulos had nothing to do with collusion. It had Papadopoulos pleading guilty to lying about activity that was completely legal, communicating with the Trump people and with foreign officials. And finally, the Flynn plea, which has nothing to do with Russian collusion and had only thing to do with process. Here's the other thing about the Flynn thing. Flynn, when he was first intercepted for talking with Kislyak on the foreign intelligence wiretaps, at that point, the FBI and the DOJ, Comey and everybody else, knew exactly what Flynn had his conversations were with Kislyak. Why did they ask him separately whether he had communicated with the ambassador and what he said? Why did they do that? That was a trap. They already knew what his conversations were because they had recordings of them and transcripts of them. Why would you ask somebody something that you already knew? The answer was they were trying to get him to lie, to embarrass him, and hope that he would lie. It was a trap. It was designed to create the beginning of a criminal investigation to get Trump. This started during the Obama administration and continues to this day. And people should wake up and understand what's going on here. Whatever type of legal trappings there are around Mueller's investigation, this is a coup d'etat. This is a legal coup d'etat designed to impeach the President of the United States.
All right, Joe.
It will not succeed.
We've got so much more to ask you about, so don't go anywhere. We're here with Joe DeGeneva, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia, talking about the Mueller investigation. Joe, what exactly are the parameters for this investigation, for this special counsel? What are the parameters, if any?
None. When he was appointed by Rod Rosenstein, he was given a wide berth, no limits. He could investigate any crimes that he found that came up in the investigation. The language says that. However, it didn't say that there was an underlying crime for him to investigate, because there wasn't one. And remember this, there's another part of this investigation that he's not touching, at least apparently not, and that's the unmasking. The unmasking happened for the most part just during the campaign, but after the election, between November and January, between the time that Trump was elected and the time that he was inaugurated. All of the major unmaskings and the leaks to the press, which were federal felonies, all occurred after Trump was elected. To me, it is fairly obvious that the Obama people were doing everything they could to undermine the incoming president, not the other way around. This is ludicrous. But Mueller's investigation has no limits whatsoever, based on the appointment papers he got from the Deputy Attorney General, and it is disgraceful.
So this can and probably will go on until 2020, and then they'll save the really good stuff for during the election and then let that out then.
It will not go on until 2020 because it can't. This would be talk about undermining a democracy. Can you imagine this going on for another 2.5 years because some guy who used to be the FBI director and is looking for work needs to continue this investigation? No, they're not going to wait that long. Again, this is about an attempt to impeach the president of the United States. And so it can't wait that long because whatever they're going to do, they're going to need to do in the next year, basically, if they want to have any effect. That they're going to try and politically push the Republicans to go along with impeachment, which will never happen under any circumstances, or hope that the Democrats take over the House and then have an impeachment proceeding in the House. Now, how will that be for the recovery of the economy to have an impeachment proceeding taking over the work of the House of Representatives for a full year? You, when you say it and you listen to it, you see how ludicrous and perverse this investigation has become. We had an election. A guy won that people don't like a lot. Well, boo-hoo. I didn't like Bill Clinton, and I didn't like Barack Obama, and I voted against both of them. But I wasn't about to try and impeach Obama, and Clinton deserved impeachment because of what he did. Look at what they're doing to our country. This is a disgrace, and shame on the people who allowed it to happen by appointing a special counsel. There was no need for one.
Over the weekend, the president said that the FBI's reputation is in tatters, worst in history. That got responses from Eric Holder, Sally Yates, and also James Comey, who tweeted the following. Listen to this, quote, "I want the American people to know this truth. The FBI is honest, the FBI is strong, and the FBI is and always will be independent." And at the end, he writes that the person he was quoting was me, June 8th, 2017. So James Comey quoting himself in tweets now. Tell us, do you think the FBI's reputation is in tatters?
I think the FBI's reputation is in trouble as a result of Comey's stewardship. No one can deny that the investigation of Hillary Clinton, which was a fraud from the very beginning, and all the evidence that we now know shows that it was not a legitimate federal criminal investigation. The lead agent in the case was
right,
tweeting anti-Trump messages during the email investigation and subsequently. We now know that Comey exonerated Hillary months before she was actually interviewed. This entire problem with the Bureau, you needed somebody to come in there after Comey who was a strong person, who had a tremendous public reputation. We didn't get that. We got Chris Wray, who's an old George Bush, don't rock the boat, make no waves kind of guy. He's come in there and he's managing the place. But he has not been able to restore the reputation of the FBI. And in fact, the president is actually correct. I wouldn't have used the word tattered. That's the president's choice. That's fine with me. But the reputation of the Bureau is sullied. After what Comey did to them, and allow the agency to look like, to conduct a phony investigation and then act like there was an actual exoneration, and having Comey usurp the powers of the Attorney General in order to do that, to listen to Comey, the world's best-known dirty cop, James Comey, the world's best-known dirty cop,
right,
give moral lectures to anybody, including the president, is an abomination.
By the way, I think Democrats thought that the FBI's reputation was in tatters up until very recently, too.
That's
based
right,
on the Hillary Clinton treatment.
Yeah, I wanted, it's so bad. You have Devin Nunes, instructing committee staff to drop contempt of Congress citation for Rosenstein and Peter Wray. You've got that happening as well. So it's not just the president who thinks that the FBI is a mess.
Listen, what's happening with this, what that's all about is the failure of the department to turn over documentary information related to the misconduct of an FBI agent who was removed from the Mueller probe. This is Agent Stroke, S-T-R-Z-O-K, Agent Peter Stroke, who was having an affair with another FBI agent in human resources. By the way, the hilarious result of this, Stroke is removed from the case because of his tweeting against Trump. So where did they put him? Human resources, where the woman works. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah,